believe that if you are called to be in this church or this ministry, then God has to do the appointment. As you spend time sitting down and getting rooted and grounded, and if you're faithful in the small things, then God will make you greater in the bigger things. And I feel that here in the 7th chapter of the book of Nehemiah, he gives us the biblical way to do it.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. When God first called Raul into ministry, he felt uncertain about his ability to serve. But as he's walked by faith in these past 5 decades, God has used his life in ways he never could have imagined. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD of Raul's encouraging testimony. Well, today as Raul continues our series in Nehemiah, he'll show us that God can and will work through us to accomplish great things for his name. You'll see that just as the Lord once called individuals by name for specific tasks in the rebuilding of Jerusalem, he's appointed you to fulfill a unique role in the building of his heavenly kingdom. We hope you'll stay tuned for a fresh shot of motivation to carry out God's call on your life. Here's Raul Reese in Nehemiah chapter 7 with the lesson, Choosing for the Ministry.
We've now come to the conclusion of the walls. Remember that in 52 days, Nehemiah completed the work of God in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and its gates. The theme for this morning, for chapter 7, will be choosing men and women for the ministry. What kind of men and women is God looking for in his ministry? Is God looking for people that have a lot of money? People that are good looking? I think it's important that we understand that in chapter 7, he will tell us about choosing people. And the first thing that God sees is that these people have to be godly people. They have to be godly. And one of the things about choosing the best men and the best women for the position of leadership, these men have to be able to be trusted, and they need to be men and women of integrity in their lives. You just can't choose anybody you want. There's been many times where people have transferred from other churches to Calvary Chapel, and they've asked, you know, how they've been involved in other ministries, and sometimes they become upset because we don't appoint them into a ministry or a place or a position in the ministry here. Because we really believe that if you are called to be in this church or this ministry, then God has to do the appointment or the appointing. As you spend time sitting down and getting rooted and grounded, and if you're faithful in the small things, then God will make you greater in the bigger things. And I feel that here in the 7th chapter of the book of Nehemiah, he gives us the biblical way to do it. This is just not a bunch of names that God just put here just to throw in. But notice how Nehemiah begins the establishment after the walls were finished. Remember, the enemy's still out there. And so now Nehemiah is going to choose men for the ministry, as now God is beginning a brand new work in Jerusalem. And then it was when the wall was built that I, Nehemiah, hung the doors. And when the gatekeepers and the singers and the Levites had been appointed, that I gave them the charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hananiah. Notice what he says there. In the introduction, at the beginning of the 7th chapter, after rebuilding the walls and setting up the gates, he appoints 3 type of people. He appoints, first of all, the gatekeepers. The gatekeepers were the watchers to the city. They were the ones that had the responsibility of opening the doors and closing the doors in the evening. And they were the ones to go on top of the walls and watch at night for the enemy to come to warn the people within the city. Those were the watchers. They were to constantly be watching for the enemy, those that would disguise themselves to come into the church. It would be type of like in the Corinthian church, where the elders were told by Paul the apostle through the Holy Spirit that those brothers that were living in the city of Corinth and were confessing Jesus Christ and they were calling themselves Christians, but at the same time they were living lives of sin, lives of carnality. Paul says, through God, he says, you have these people that are in your church, man. He says it's something because they shouldn't even be in your church. You shouldn't even fellowship with them or eat with them or do anything with them. As a matter of fact, if they don't want to repent, you should kick them out of the church. Turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That's what it says in the New Testament. God does not allow sin in the church. He says, not allow carnality in his body, in his church, because his church is the place where God wants to use his people to bring glory and honor to himself. This is where God is choosing people to go out and bring people to Christ. This is a place to learn about Christ. This is a place to be sanctified by the Lord. This is a place to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and his gifts that are given to us as individual members of the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. And we are his members. It's important then that we understand that the appointment here, notice that word there in verse 1, it wasn't a selection by men, it was a selection by God. They were appointed by God, the gatekeepers. And then not only the gatekeepers, but the singers. And the singers were in charge of the worship. They were to lead the people to God in worship. Prepare the people to receive what? The word of God through who? Through the Levites. They were the ministers. Three important people there in verse 1. And then watch this. Verse 2. And then I gave the charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hananiah, the same brother that came and told him about the places in Jerusalem when the walls were burned down. And then Hananiah, notice, the leader of the Sidel, for he was a faithful man and he feared God more than many of them. Notice what that. Notice the type of men that Nehemiah is choosing for himself. He's not choosing people that are carnal. He's choosing people that fear God. People that really want to serve God. And let me take you back into the Old Testament, then I'll take you into the New Testament, and let me show you biblically what God says here. Turn to the book of Exodus for a second, chapter 18. Moses now has come out of Egypt with about 2.5 million people, and he's the leader. And the people have begun to murmur and to complain, and it seems that Moses is spending from morning to evening counseling people with their problems. And so his father-in-law Jethro comes over to Moses in verse 13. He says, and so it was that when the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until the evening. And so when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, what is this thing that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from the morning until the evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, well, because the people come to me and inquire of God. Notice the little ego that Moses has there. I'm the only one they can talk to. And one of the things that I want to share with you is that Moses here is counseling from morning to evening. I want to ask you the question, when does Moses have time for the word of God? When does Moses have time to pray? He doesn't. This is really the role of a lot of pastors in a lot of denominational churches. They do everything except get into the word and pray. Watch what he says. He really warns him here. But Moses says, well, you know, they come and inquire of me from God. And when they have a difficulty, they come to me and I judge between one and another and I make known the statutes of God and his laws. Okay, so he gives them the laws, but what he knows already. And so Moses' father-in-law said to him, this thing that you're doing is not good. He's getting rebuked. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Which means, Moses, you're going to burn yourself out and the people by doing all this. Now listen to my counsel or my voice. I will give you counsel and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, you see, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. You see, you be the intercessor, Moses. And you shall teach them. There it is. You shall teach them. Notice what he says here. You shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and work they must do. How do you do that? By becoming a teacher to the people. Not a counselor. By teaching them the word of God. And then watch this. Verse 21. And moreover, you shall select, here it is, you shall select, appoint. Select what? From all the people, able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and then place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. Notice the chain of command. But you, Moses, you take the big, difficult things and then you take them to God and let these other people take care of all the businesses in the church. You give yourself to the study of the word. You give yourself to prayer so you can teach the people the laws of God and the statutes of God. And yet, how many men I know that are struggling in this area in their own lives as teachers and pastors because they have to do everything. Now, go to Acts chapter 6. And here on this circumstance here, this situation, Peter has taken over the church. The church is multiplying. There's probably about 30,000 people already in the church by this time. And some of the Grecian women, the Hellenists, these people were being neglected from daily ministration, which means their needs were not being met physically. Okay, they weren't being fed. And so they started complaining. Verse 2. And then the 12 summoned the multitude together to the disciples and said, look, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. You see, but check this out. I mean, Peter is really smart because he's following a biblical way of raising up leaders because he sees that they can't do it all. And the church is growing by leaps and bounds. So what does he say? Why don't you do this? Why don't you go ahead, my brethren, and seek out among you seven men. Seven men. Notice again, selected, appointed, and now he says here, seek out among you. Among you, not from outside. You don't hire people from the outside to work in the church. You let people in the church that are raised up in the church here as they approve themselves. Then you appoint them and you bring them up into a place of leadership. That's what God teaches. You don't go out and hire people. The people within the church here should be able to administrate and should be able to have their own leadership and not be going out and doing our research and recruiting other churches to bring people to do the leadership here. And the men that you choose for the ministry in the New Testament too, listen to what he says. You take seven men, seven is the number of perfection. You take them of good reputation. He has to be a person that has a good reputation, not only in his home, in his business, in everything he does. And if he hasn't had a good reputation, then he should not be in leadership. He should not be in leadership. Because then you bring shame to the ministry into the name of Christ. He has to be of good report. Secondly, he has to be a man full of the Holy Spirit. He has to be spirit-filled. The love of Christ has to be in his life. He cannot be a hireling. He cannot be a tyrant. He cannot be offending people. And these people here started serving tables. All these people were serving tables. They were in the parking lot picking up cigarette butts. And the Lord promoted them to a position where they didn't even want to be at. And it seems a lot of times when people are looking for leadership, they're looking for a title, they're looking for a name tag, and they're looking for a place to sit. When Jesus never taught that. When we're supposed to serve one another. We're supposed to care for the body of Christ. But they have to be a good reputation. They have to be men full of the Holy Spirit. And they have to be men of wisdom. Which means what? They have answers to the problems. They're thinking men. Their thinking is biblical. Their thinking is led by the Lord. and they do it biblical. They're not men of the world. And you know what's interesting about these fellows here? That God chose these seven men here? Let me tell you about two of them. Number one, the one that was chosen to wait on tables was Stephen. And Stephen was such a faithful brother, man, cleaning tables, cleaning floors, cleaning everything else, that God took him and he made him his first witness and his first martyr for the cross of Jesus Christ. He was the first one to get killed. And he was a nobody. And yet God exalted him. And then the other one, his name was Philip, and Philip became the great evangelist. He's the one that brought revival to there in when the eunuch was going back to Africa. He went and he sat on a chariot and he preached the gospel to him. And he took the gospel back to Africa. And then God used Philip to evangelize these people. So you see, every one of us here fits somewhere in the body of Christ if we allow God to use our abilities and our gifts and talents. We can be used in the church of Jesus Christ. But we have to work in unity. We have to work in harmony. Now, go back to Nehemiah. And look and see what he says there in that verse 2. And then I gave charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hanani, and then Hananiah, the leader of the Sitel, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. And then I said to them, do not let the gates of Jerusalem be open until the sun is hot, which they stand guard. Let them shut and bear the doors and appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, one at his watch station and another in front of his house. Notice the chain of command here. Now, he gives a responsibility to this guy by the name of Hananiah to start appointing people to watch the gates so that nobody can come in or out unless they're checked out because of the danger of the enemy. The watchers began to become what? The ones that oversee the city. While the Levites are the ones that proclaim the word of God, they're the ones that do the sacrifices, the priests. And then you have the ones that were the singers, and they were the ones that waited upon God and studied the Psalms, and they wrote the songs for the worship of the Lord. You see, there's a chain of command. God works in harmony. And then verse 4, and now, the city was large and spacious, but the people in it were few, and the houses still were not rebuilt. You see, even though the walls and the gates were put up, the houses inside were not completed. So there was a danger of getting busy with your house and building your house that you would not oversee the city as the enemy would come into the city. So he's exhorting them, hey, watch. And then, verse 5. Notice here the question, who is available to repopulate and to revitalize the city? And then God put into my heart to gather the nobles. Notice God speaks to Nehemiah. God is leading Nehemiah. And that's the way the pastor should be. He should wait upon God in prayer and the word. And then as God puts it in his heart, he shares it with the people and he takes action with the people. And then my God put it into my heart to gather the nobles and the rulers and the people that they might be registered by genealogy. What is God laying on his heart? He said, I want you to take every name of everyone that lives in the city of Jerusalem. You say, man, why would you want to do that? Because you want to make sure that everybody that lives in Jerusalem is not an enemy, but everybody's a Jew. Again, and then I found a register of the genealogy of those who had come up first and found written in this, these are the people of the providence who came back from the captivity of those who had been carried away and had returned to Jerusalem and Judah, everyone to his city. These were the 55,000 they had returned in the book of Haggai, and then God speaks to them. And they're the ones that are returning now back to Jerusalem, and now we find them here with Nehemiah. See, these are the ones, the old ones, the ones that were in captivity, now they're coming back. And then in verse 6, through verse 7, you have those that were the original leaders in the ministry, and they have their names there. And then in verse 8, you have the names of these Jews. They were the laymen. And what is Nehemiah doing? He takes the registry, and he registers these people, and then he appoints them according as he looks at the name, and he looks at the family, and then he appoints them to a task, just like God does, the way God uses us. He begins to appoint people where they belong to be and where they need to be. Instead of appointing themselves, he appoints them as he reads the genealogies. And then in verse 8 through 38, you have all these names of the Jews who were lay people or laymen. And then in verse 39, you have the name of all of the priest descendants of Aaron. They were the only ones that were able to worship and to do the work of the tabernacle or the temple. Nobody else could do that. So you see how important the registry is? You need to have the people in the right place at the right time. And then in verse 43, you have the Levites, descendants of Levi. And then in 44, the singers. And then in verse 45, you have the watchers. In verse 46 through 56, you have the temple servants, those that serve in the temple. And then in verse 57, you have the Solomon's servants. And then in verse 61, those by ancestry that were questioned, you had this group of people. When you looked up the charts and the books, you couldn't find their names in the registry. But look what it says here, verse 63. And then the priests, the sons of Hebei and the sons of Kos and the sons of Barzillai, who took a wife and the daughter of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and was called by their name. These sought there, literally, until among those who were registered by genealogy, but it was not found. Therefore, they were excluded from the priesthood and defiled. They could not serve because they couldn't find their names in the priesthood, and that was a no-no in the kingdom of God. But look what they do in verse 65. But the priests could not consult what? Until they went to the Urim and the Thummim, which means the lights and perfections. These were the things, they were type of a dice. They were thrown to look for the will of God, to see which was the will of God and which was the will of men. That's what was used by those people at that time. They wanted to make sure that the will of God was done in everything they were doing here. And that's my desire, that everything we do here will be the will of God, not the will of men.
We hope you've been encouraged today by the names God has recorded in His Word as a testimony of His desire to give each of us a specific job in kingdom-building work. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. To review today's lesson, just call 800-634-9165, and we'll send you an unedited copy for a donation of $5 or more. When you contact us, ask for Raul's message titled Choosing for the Ministry. We'd also like to tell you about Raul's new 4-CD audio pack titled Obey. You'll find reassurance that even if you feel insignificant in the world's eyes, God sees the unique person He's made you to be, and there's a place for you in kingdom-building work. You simply need to be willing to follow wherever He leads. This series also points to the blessings that come from surrendering to God's will and believing in His ability to accomplish great things through you. Contact us today to purchase Raul's CD series centered on obedience. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 and we'll send you this 4-message collection for a gift of $19 or more. Once again, our phone number is 800-634-9165. If you'd like to order this resource by sending a check, our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We also invite you to enrich your spiritual life with our many free Somebody Loves You resources. Our app now features new digital Bible studies and a convenient Bible reading plan, as well as easy access to scripture-based teaching. The app is free and can be downloaded on both iPhones and Androids. Plus, we encourage you to join Raul for Straight Talk on YouTube every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time. This Q&A program offers Bible-based guidance for honoring the Lord with your life, and you won't want to miss out on it. Well, as you consider how you can most effectively serve in building God's kingdom, we want to support you. We're continually looking for new ways to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord, and we value your feedback. When you contact us, let us know how we can pray for you as well. Somebody Loves You Radio is made possible through the continued prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Your generosity helps keep us on the air, and every contribution you make is tax deductible. Be sure and join us again next time on Somebody Loves You Radio as we return to Nehemiah for a reinforcing look at the value of keeping the Bible central in our lives. Here's Raul now once again with the closing comment.
And then in verse 66, you have the total number, 42,360, which is the same number in Ezra chapter 2, verse 64. And then in verse 70, and now the final action here by Nehemiah, that is the providing for the people. Notice the provision, and for some of the heads of the fathers' houses, they gave them to work. The governor gave the treasury 1,000 gold of denarius. And these are the people that now give financially for the work of the Lord, so that the work of the Lord can continue. And there's no begging, and there's no radio shows, and no television pleading. But the Lord provides the needs for the people. I love that. And in verse 73, and so the priests and the Levites and the gatekeepers and the singers and some of the people and the Nephilim and all Israel dwelt in their cities. And when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were all in their cities. And let me say this, in chapter 8, exciting, exciting chapter, because after he does that, guess what happens? Revival comes. God begins to work.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.